Blimey. This is one out of a jam jar you got here.
House of Mystery contains demons, angels, elementals, magicians, wizards, apparitions, adult language, and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not enter the House of Mystery.
All right, then. Welcome to the show.
All right, hello. Welcome, everyone, to the House of Mystery, the John Constantine and Friends podcast. I am Michael Flores, the host of the House of Mystery. Along with me, it seems like you're going to be the usual guest host, Dave. It is my fellow apparition.
You're a ghost.
Occultist. There, that's better. Occultist David. How are you today?
Doing good and feeling fine.
Yeah. All right. So in this episode, we have a lot to get through, a lot to discuss. This is something that I've been waiting for a very long time.
You and me both.
We are going to discuss and break down the Sandman Universe Presents Hellblazer one-shot, The Best Version of You. This one is a big deal.
It is.
And it's an event. It's an event. And since its announcement, it has felt like a big deal. Not many comic book titles these days get the amount of press this one has received. Numerous press releases within the trades, Hollywood Reporter, The Variety, big film trades. There is a ravenous cult-like fervor built into the DNA of Hellblazer at this point.
Yes.
And we're feeling it. Everything leading up to this release, we have seen the power of Hellblazer. Many people in charge at these media outlets grew up with Hellblazer. It's always been a clever title with some extremely intelligent writers attached, yep. Intellectual types. So it makes sense that so many people in these particular positions are all about covering it. It's a lot like Star Wars, Dave. Meaning, you have people who grew up with Star Wars watching it their entire lives. And now a lot of these people who are fans are now filmmakers. They're now producers. They're now screenwriters. And that's why you get this built-in excitement within the film industry, because the very people who grew up with this, you know, said property is now working in the very field. And the same thing can be said comparatively to Hellblazer.
Yes. And also it comes with the caveat that Hellblazer has turned into kind of like this budding franchise that you're now starting to see people say, hey, Hellblazer has its own feeling, its own tone, its own kind of gravitas. Because, like, let's be honest. Hellblazer as a comic, which ended back in 2013, that the original Hellblazer is nothing like what we see in the DC comic universe today.
No, and we're going to talk about that quite a bit today, because it was something that the writer Simon Spurrier had intended to do in this very issue. He needed to find a way to take the different tones from post New 52, as well as the old Hellblazer era,
yeah,
and kind of mesh them together, because he was trying to take into account the fact that now we have close to 10 years of a mainstream title. And because Constantine, whether you love the decision or hate the decision that DC brought him into the main DCU. I mean, he's always been a part of this story. Let's not get into that. It's very complicated how everything has worked and, yeah, and meshed together. But he was brought into the main DCU back in, 2011 with the launch of the New 52.
Yes.
And the point was to create enthusiasm around this character, and it worked.
Meaning, to bring him into the mainstream.
It did work.
Yes.
But essentially what we got was we took an HBO show, let's say like Game of Thrones, and you turned it into CSI. Turned it into something more mainstream, more like factory television.
I like that you made that analogy, because that is exactly what has happened to the character of Constantine.
And it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's just different.
It's different.
It's different.
And I hate the fact when fans say, oh, he's just watered down. He's not watered down. He's just different.
It's just because the stories are different. The character, I feel like, for the most part, there's been some instances that make me get a little frustrated. But for the most part, the characterization of John Constantine has been fairly consistent.
Yeah. And like, you have to understand, as a fan, in order for Constantine to fit into the regular DC universe, there's elements and tones that do not mix well in the actual DC universe.
Right.
The type of storytelling that we all grew up on with the original Hellblazer, I'm sorry, does not work in the regular DC universe.
No, no.
And they've tried to put it in the past, and it's failed because it doesn't make any sense.
Right. And everything you're saying right now is the reason why there's this insane enthusiasm that has surrounded this title, due to the fact that this is a one-shot, Dave. Yes. That's going to jumpstart a whole new era of Hellblazer. Starting in November, later this month, we'll be getting an ongoing Hellblazer title, which launches later. But that's not it. We've had various titles, as I said, post the new 52 shakeup. But for many purists, it has not been the same, as you were saying.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is a return to form, I think, for a lot of people. So what this series has promised is not just a return to form, but it will be part of the ever-growing, rebooted, and retooled Sandman universe. And yes, it will continue a storyline, Dave. You ready for this? It will continue a storyline that was started way back in 1991 in the very highly underrated and truly remarkable four-part series titled The Book of Magic, or The Books of Magic. Written by the main man himself, Neil Gaiman.
Yep.
And we have a show planned to discuss those later and get into a very
to talk about.
We're going to get into a very detailed analysis. We're going to touch on them a bit in this episode discussion, only because we kind of have to because of the direct connections. But after rereading those titles, I found that we need to dedicate one, if not two, shows to completely discuss and break down the events of the Books of Magic, especially if they end up playing a big part in the series.
Yeah.
Now, I really don't know if they're going to play a big part or if they were just used as a bit of a platform, I guess a catalyst of sorts. Regardless, I feel like it's worth getting into. And for people who have not read, they should go in and read them because it does give you backstory.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit more context behind the events of this issue.
And the beautiful thing about now, especially now in how the landscape is now in DC, these stories like the Books of Magic and the way they told the story in Constantine now works in the DC universe, because it's thanks to other stories now where they've tried to explain the universe, how the universe of the DC universe works.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can bring these stories back. And honestly, after reading this and then going back and actually refreshing myself on the Books of Magic.
Yeah.
Thanks to, as strange as it sounds, thanks to series like DC's Metal, stories like these make sense. And now as fans of the DC universe, you can actually accept.
Yeah, right.
Accept everything.
Yeah. And the Books of Magic is very much an entry point, which I think is why it was so fucking amazing how it was just written out.
Oh, yeah.
They found a way to compartmentalize the basics of the DC universe, well, the Hellblazer side of things, into a four-part series where anyone who, let's say you're brand new to this thing and you just want to understand how this, the universe works.
How's magic works?
How does magic work? Read the Books of Magic. It explains everything to you. In many ways, it reminded me of, you remember the index for Lord of the Rings, the Tolkien book?
Silurium?
Yes. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about that is, like, that type of storytelling is awesome when you're doing universe building.
It's needed at times. It's
needed.
Especially late in the game. Let's be honest. 1991 was very late in the game. Things have already been coming around. We had we already had the Phantom Stranger. We already had Constantine. We already had, you know, the Sandman universe. We had all these things going on, but they still managed to say, all right, let's stop here for a second. Let's tell this new story. Let's introduce this new character, Tim Hunter. And at the same time, let's explain how all of this works together. And let's use one character, Tim Hunter, to bring it all together. Now, that setup, or the setup for this specific series, the Hellblazer relaunch, is surprisingly simple.
Yeah.
But not in an intellectual sense, in a narrative sense. They made it very easy for folks, just like the Books of Magic. They made it very easy for folks just coming in, or people wanting, or people new wanting to get into Hellblazer. They made it very easy for them to follow along. However, if you know the background and you've read the Books of Magic, it's even more exciting.
It makes the story within Hellblazer number one so much more better, because so much more engaging.
Yeah.
Engaging is probably the best word, because like when I first opened this comic, I had so many high expectations for this book.
Well, hold on, Dave. Hold on.
Yeah.
We're going to get there. I want to hear your expectations. It's actually built into the show notes, but I don't want you to jump ahead yet.
Yes.
Because I have other things I want to set up first, and then I want to go to you and get your thoughts on the finished story of this one shot. Now, as I said, the setup is simple, Dave. In the opening pages of the Hellblazer one shot, the reader is essentially just thrown right into what resembles the apocalypse, the end of the world. And it is referred to as the final magical conflict of that age. I believe that's what it was.
Yes.
Now, for those that have read the Books of Magic, we witnessed these events when Tim Hunter traveled into the future and saw one of many different versions of things that could happen. In the Books of Magic, Tim Hunter encountered a dying Constantine. A Constantine that said he should have killed him, Tim Hunter, 15 years prior when they had the opportunity. So what we get here in this Hellblazer title, this one shot, this relaunch, this reboot, the present timeline of the new Hellblazer series is one of the many versions of the future that Tim Hunter saw in the original Books of Magic. In fact, there's a scene that is verbatim of a scene in Books of Magic that is used as the catalyst that actually does kickstart this story, the Hellblazer story, and introduces us to new possibilities. Now, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, Dave, I'm very anxious to hear about your thoughts. Give me your initial thoughts. Did it fulfill your expectations? And is it everything you were hoping it would be?
When I actually went into this, I wanted to actually lower my expectations. But the closer we got to actually...
You were just nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like going, please don't mess this up. Please don't mess this up.
I was the same.
But when I got through all of Hellblazer, this honestly met every single one of my expectations and then some.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking, for me, in my opinion, this probably is one of the best comics I've read this year.
Ooh.
This year.
Are you taking into account the Sandman universe titles as well?
I'm taking that into account because
they've been doing some killer work.
Yes.
From the Sandman universe side of things.
But the
Lucifer,
thing that,
Books of Magic, the new one, The Dreaming. And this goes right in. I would agree with you. You know what? I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say it might be.
For me, it is because I was a fan of Hellblazer and the Books of Magic so long ago.
Yeah.
And the fact that basically they said, hey, you know where we left off? I know it would have upset a lot of fans that we never got a conclusion to that story. bang, we're going to pick it up right at the last pages of Books of Magic.
Well, they gave us a conclusion, but they never went back to that moment when that Constantine wanted to kill Tim Hunter. They never went back to that because I guess we can assume they had averted that timeline because I believe, if memory serves me correct, Tim Hunter went on to be an adult and he never brought about the apocalypse.
Yeah, because Tim... The whole thing about the Books of Magic, while we love Constantine and we love the Trenchcoat Brigade, the Books of Magic is about Tim as a character growing up into adulthood.
Right.
And that's his story. Hellblazer was solely Constantine's story.
Right.
And when you get to that point in Books of Magic, when you realize that Constantine technically died in Books of Magic.
Well, we don't see it in Books of Magic.
We don't see it.
But we kind of, they allude to it.
They allude to that was John's final moments.
Yeah.
And then it never was really brought up in Hellblazer.
Right. But that's why this title, backing you up, Dave, that's why this title worked for me in so many ways. Because this issue did exactly what it needed to do.
It needed to do.
It posed questions and it got us invested. And I'm completely on board. And there was some hesitation when I was getting ready to read this. In fact, I kept putting it off, Dave. I was like, I bought it on the first day and I'm like, I'm going to save it. I'm not going to, I can read it yet. I'm going to save it. Let me reread Books of Magic. Okay, read it. Okay, it's time to read Hellblazer. No, I'm going to read it later. Because I couldn't contain my expectations. I know how you said that you, tried to lower your expectations. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Hellblazer fan, so I was going in nervous, and I'm on board. There are a lot of questions. I'm sure many of us Hellblazer fans have. What does this mean for the DCU and John over on that end of things? I think at this point, nothing.
Right now, nothing.
There is no direct connection. There is a moment, however, which we will get into later in the show, that could help with that. But I feel it has more to do with connecting the reader to the original JC stories, the original Hellblazer titles themselves.
Well, not only that, just reestablishing who John Constantine is.
Yes. Well, yes. Because the whole point is they got to remember that. Even if you go back to, let's say, the mid-2000s or even, let's say before the New 52, that's still a long time in people. When you really think about it, let's say people that were reading comic books, people who are new to comic books, typically people start reading comic books at what age? Maybe 11, maybe 12, maybe 10. Okay, well, these people who are maybe 12, 13, 14, 15 now were like 3 years old in the mid-2000s.
Yes.
So you have to bring new readers in. And they had to create a story that was reestablishing the character. And this was, in my opinion, just a beautiful way to reboot a series while not forgetting everything that came before.
Yes.
In fact, Neil Gaiman tweeted on the day of its release, I believe, where he says, this Constantine, he's Jamie Delano's original Constantine. And yes. Garth's and Alan, Rick, Steve, and John's, and then he says, and mine too, and now Simon's. A new Constantine for a new era. So that's the connections we're going to get. Any connection we do get will be from the old guard.
Yeah.
And there are moments in the comic book that do, in fact, allude to that. In fact, there's a bonus as well. We see an image that looks strangely like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, because...
Just because I guarantee you there's no reason for that other than the fact that Simon was probably going to have a little fun with
Simon
people.
Was having a little
there,
fun.
But there were a lot of wink, wink moments that no one else would really understand things unless, A, you know, Keanu Reeves' movie or B, you're an old school Hellblazer fan. There was a lot of great moments like that, which gave me more confidence, Dave, with the overall series and what we're going to get, because this is a fucking dude that's just like you and I. Fucking is in love with Hellblazer.
He's in love with Hellblazer. And that's the thing about what Simon Spurrier did with this comic that is really special to me is like, he not only is in love with Hellblazer, but he understands what fans like about Hellblazer.
Yep.
He
That's very clear.
He basically says he knows that basically there's different kinks to John as a character that we all like,
mm-hmm.
but John is all of these things. He is the Keanu Reeves character. That is him. And he understands that basically
he's not trying to trash the old exactly. to do something new.
He wants to establish that basically John as a character is so dynamic
right.
that this is his history. We're going to see his history as a character.
Now, arguably, Dave, you can say that he was taking a bit of a stab or maybe a what's the word I'm looking for, Dave?
Jab.
Taking a little bit of a jab. There we go. At the DCU version, the New 52 version. There was a concerted effort from Spurrier to open the story in a big epic way in order for the standard DCU readers that were introduced to Constantine post New 52. In fact, in an interview, he stated as much. And I'm going to read this little blurb from the interview. He wanted to satisfy Hellblazer fans as well as welcome in anyone who's discovered the character via one of his more dialed up, if not outright spandexy, recent incarnations. Now, this is his words. These are direct quotes. The one-off special issue has the difficult task of not only laying the groundwork for the new status quo, but also bridging the tonal gulf. Hence, it begins in a vein which will feel quite familiar to those who've discovered John via his DCU appearances. Justice League Dark, the Constantine title, the Constantine, the Hellblazer Rebirth title. He says lots of colors, insane things happening, and crackingly magical explode is what he says. And then via various twists and turns, it transitions toward a more nuanced horror-centric reality of hauntings, slithering half-seen influences, and embittered liars getting drunk in pubs.
Yep.
So that by the end of the issue, we are entirely in Hellblazer territory. And that's exactly what he did. And there were also some very meta moments, as I said, where he was taking jabs. Constantine said, "The flashy shit is yeah, not my scene." How many times did he say that throughout the entire issue?
Oh yeah, he calls it flashy shit
numerous times. So numerous that times. Was Simon having a little bit of fun. Now, I'm not saying he hated the New 52 or the Rebirth Hellblazer title, but he understands. He understands the differences, and he was trying to blend them as best as possible, knowing that many of those New 52 fans, John Constantine has a whole new group of fans because of that, because of the New 52, because of Justice League Dark, because of the Hellblazer Rebirth title, and of course, because of the TV show and Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he needed to let people see within those opening pages the bright colors and the shiny explosions,
the madness
of the more mainstream version of Constantine. And then he's going to slowly introduce people to the more nuanced version of Hellblazer, which is what I'd say 90% of us Hellblazer fans enjoy the most of,
because it makes the character of Constantine so relatable.
Yeah.
When you do personal stories like that, you can do the setting of this grand epic moment, like say like Books of Magic is a very epic tale.
Oh yeah.
But like it's still very personal because of the way the story unfolds.
It's dude, I think that might be, you know how people give Frank Miller credit for what's the first Batman one he wrote,
Dark Knight Returns?
No, Year One. You know how people give, I mean, we study that in college because it's considered a piece of literature and it is good, but it's a fucking travesty that Year One gets more credit for being literature over Neil Gaiman's Books of Magic, because
it does.
Those four issues are fucking brilliant on so many levels. And that's why, again, I love Simon Spurrier that much more. The fact that he used that brilliance as his catalyst to jumpstart his own series shows you that he understands and knows what to do and what's going on.
Yeah, he understands the voice of John as a character.
And I think it's great. This whole thing, this whole issue and what they were trying to do with the tonal meshing of the tone. It's what, unfortunately, I don't want to say unfortunately, but it is what it is, right? With this new era of Constantine, it's what Constantine is at this point. He's not just Hellblazer anymore. From the early days, he's this new 52. He's also Legends of Tomorrow. There's now different versions of him out there in terms of style and story.
Yeah, because he has to play nice with the kids, so to speak.
Right.
He has to be in the same universe as Capes.
Right. Yeah. And Dave, but my question is this to you, and you are a huge comic book nutcase, much bigger than I am. Knowing that the last 10 years has created a whole other side of Constantine. Let me rephrase that. Hold on. Knowing that over the last 10 years, Constantine has become mainstream. And because of that, he has gained a lot of different type of fans. Do you think those folks that are used to reading the more mainstream stories, or the ones that are fans of Legends of Tomorrow and his TV show, which wasn't, you know, lighthearted by any means, it was actually pretty damn good. Do you think the mainstream audiences that got to know John over the last 10 years, do you think they're going to be able to connect with a more nuanced classic Constantine narrative?
I think so, because it comes down to the point, why are you a Constantine fan? If you can understand, if the writer of Constantine can get that voice, get mm-hmm. that tone, get who John is, then every fan, whether it is a nostalgic fan, whether it is a mainstream fan, will fall in love with it. That's why, you know, I honestly feel Constantine's one of the most important characters in the last 5 years.
Oh, he's relevant.
He's so relevant
on so many right levels. Now. The stories they use for him are very extremely relevant, relatable. They're grounded at times, which sounds silly because you're dealing with this
magic.
You're dealing with magic. you're dealing with larger than life scenarios, and yet this is a character that many of us can connect. We can connect to the guilt. We can connect to someone who wants to do right, but does the wrong thing sometimes. We can connect to those people who don't really like what they see in the mirror in the morning.
Yeah.
He is the most relatable character, in my opinion, in comic book history.
I think so too, because like when you think about it,
I'm not going to say he's the best. I think he's the best because I'm biased, but I think when it comes to relatability, he might be.
Yeah. Because there's a difference. I hope the audience understands there is a difference between relating to a character and looking up to a character.
Mm-hmm.
Because we look up to characters like Superman,
right.
Batman, Wonder Woman, the Trinity. We look up to those characters.
And Punisher.
Yeah, to some degree. But
I do want to kill some fucking assholes, though. I mean, let's be real about it.
With a character like John, it's different. We don't look up to John. We relate to John.
I love that you said that. You're absolutely right. That's the best way to frame John Constantine as a character.
Yeah, you don't look up to John. You don't want to be John.
Oh, I kind of want to be him. He's cool.
But you go, goddamn, I definitely can understand John.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Dave, so let's get into this a little bit further, and just to warn people out there, there's going to be some spoilers. We're going to get into the story, the ins and outs of the story. The way they make this story work, Dave, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we see a scene that took place in the Books of Magic.
Yes.
But what we didn't see after Tim Hunter leaves in the Books of Magic is that Constantine apparently dies.
Uh-huh.
But before he does, an older soulless version of himself makes a deal with him, which right there in itself creates 100 questions. Because not only is he a soulless version of himself from some distant future, I'm talking like maybe 20 or 30 years, because he's an old man.
Yes, he's an old man. The one that actually approaches John is probably in his 50s or 60s.
Yeah, possibly. But this individual who's John Constantine in the future is happy. And that's what really intrigued Constantine. Who is this guy? And why is he happy? Oh, wait a second. He's me. This isn't right. Yes. What's the deal with this? And I'm not sure if it's because he had no soul, so he had no reason to care about things.
And I'm glad you pointed that out, because I'm going, I thought about that.
That in itself is an amazing angle to take. If they choose to do a story about that, if that ends up being a big part of the upcoming Hellblazer title, which based on how this issue ended, I have a feeling it will be. I mean, talk about a moral question they can pose, or an ethical question. Will I be happier if I just don't have a soul?
When you don't have your moral compass.
When you don't, yes. I mean, that writes itself. It's fascinating. And without getting bogged down with recapping the comic, the old version, he sends Constantine to a time where he's needed, right before he dies. He makes a deal with him, says, hey, if you give me your soul, I will spare your life. Which, by the way, we don't even know how he's able to do this. And I'm sure that's going to be wrapped up into the main arc of the upcoming title. He sends Constantine to a time where he's needed. At least that's what he's told. Yes. His mind is sent to a version of himself that is in 2019, our time.
Yep.
How does this fit in with previous stories? Who fucking knows? I don't think it really matters. However, Constantine remembers events, and that's the part that matters. It doesn't really matter if this is time when chronologically inaccurate. They can fuck around with the chronological order of things all day long.
Yeah, because this is, you're dealing with magic.
Yes.
At this point.
But what does matter is Constantine remembers the events that now apparently has never happened. Things from other classic John Constantine story arcs.
Yes.
He's falling into some kind of temporal madness, and it has everything to do with these different memories that he says can't coexist, and they're beating up his mind.
Yes.
But this is where we get our connections that I'm assuming can answer questions that some of us fans may have. I don't feel like these have to be tackled right away. In fact, I'm hoping they don't tackle them right away. We understand what's happening.
Yes.
And that part is clear. And how we got here, we understand that. And that's really all we need to know at this time. In fact, Simon goes meta again, which I can appreciate that when you can break the fourth wall in a fun way. He goes meta again when Constantine is questioning all these memories and says, you'd go mad trying to decide what's real and what's not.
What's not, yeah.
Because that was literally me when I was reading this. I'm like, oh, he's talking to me right now. Okay, cool. I need to pay attention really clear. I got to pay special attention to this next part. You know, when the only question worth asking is, what matters right now?
Now, yes.
And that was Simon Spurrier saying, guys, none of this matters right now. What matters is the story, the immediate story. All of this is just here to set the stage, to be the catalyst that will propel this new Hellblazer story.
Yes.
And I'd agree there is a mystery to solve. We do need eventually get to answering some questions, but there's no rush. We understand the setup, and that's all I wanted in this first issue. And I wanted them to address the old Constantine. Yep. I wanted them to address the books of magic, and they did.
Yeah, and the setup, honestly, by Simon was a masterstroke. Like, at this
it really
one
was.
Issue, this one shot, we now understand that basically, okay, this might be the storyline that is going to be going into the brand new Hellblazer comic that's coming out. And this is going to be the story arc. This is our myth arc. But we're also not going to forget about the stuff that you all remember. We're trying to explain how this fits and where it fits. And is this actually going on in the DC universe? Is this like an Elseworlds? What is it?
No. Well, it's definitely not an Elseworlds. This is definitely what Neil Gaiman had tweeted out. This is all of it. All of the classic Constantine stories. This is all of that, those stories.
Yes. And you're bringing John forward. That's the important part.
Forward and yet back. That's why it's interesting.
Yeah.
It is good. It does make you go a little crazy if you try to understand all of it, but that's not the point. All we needed to know in this first issue, this one shot, was it will be acknowledged. It has been acknowledged, and all of it happened, and the mystery will be told or revealed in subsequent issues. And that's, Dave, as I said, that's all I wanted. I wanted them to not do the classic reboot thing. I didn't want them to do what they did with the New 52 and kind of continue stories in kind of this half-assed, very tame way. Because my biggest issue to date is I have such a love-hate relationship with the New 52 run of Justice League Dark.
Yeah.
There were moments I absolutely love. I love seeing those characters all together. It's Zatanna, Deadman, Swamp Thing, Madame Xanadu, of course Constantine. It works. I fucking love it. But they tackled a Books of Magic story line in it, and it was awful. It was so bad.
Because you couldn't make heads or tails of it.
Not only that, it just was so watered down and cheap. However, Dave, I don't feel like they need to address that right away. Where was I going with this? What were we talking about before I said that?
Basically about like how the DC, the New 52 version of Constantine was watered down.
Yeah, I don't think they need to connect that. The DCU is something entirely different. Now, if they want it, they've already tackled that with the New 52.
Yes.
We already understand that. And if that version of Constantine continues, I think we can all look at this one as something entirely separate. And that's not something new to DC. How many Batman titles do we have that don't connect?
Oh, yeah.
And I think we all understand that this new Sandman universe title is the new universe. This is the new playing ground for Lucifer, for Tim Hunter, for the House of Whispers, and for now John Constantine. And they're using all the old story arcs, it seems like, to kind of catapult off of.
And that's what I was afraid of, but like one of my favorite moments in this book was the fact that they addressed what happens to Chaz.
Yeah, poor Chaz.
And I'm like going, I'm glad that basically, essentially, they remembered that and said, hey, this is that universe, and this is the repercussions that actually Constantine has to deal with now.
Yeah, and no, go ahead, sorry.
And that whole scene was classic Hellblazer.
Mm-hmm.
That whole scene.
You're talking about the hospital?
The hospital.
Yeah.
That was completely classic Hellblazer. Not like the New 52, because you would never see a scene like this in the New 52. Mm-hmm. I mean, without giving away spoilers, because I want our audience to absolutely read this, my heart broke for John. Not Chaz, but for John. Because it harkens back to the fact that John is a good person down deep inside. He just makes tough decisions. Not bad decisions. Tough decisions.
He has to make tough decisions.
Has to make tough decisions.
Well, and that's kind of what I really, not kind of, that is, that's something that I really dug about this storyline, was they really stripped down all the fun friendships and help that Constantine usually
gets,
has in an issue. Constantine is back, yes. And he's alone.
Yes.
I think that's a great start to the story. The alone aspect is something I totally dig. In fact, in an interview, Simon Spurrier also said that the biggest difference he's facing right now in these new issues, which will drive a lot of the drama, is simply that he's been away for a very long time, that he's now a stranger in his own life. There are monsters and fools in charge of the world. And where once he had a near endless Rolodex of old mates and lovers on whom he can rely for help, he no longer has them. And that's going to be an interesting aspect. That's something we have not seen in a very long time. A John Constantine who is by himself. And it's going to be a very fun way for, you can tell Simon Spurrier loves to fucking write. Like he doesn't just want to write action points and okay, A to B to C to D. He wants to write a fucking story.
Yes.
And the fact that he gave him something like this, something emotional ingredients that he can now explore the loneliness of John Constantine.
Character drama.
It's character drama. Absolutely fantastic. We're not just going to focus on the arcs, but now we're going to focus on this loneliness that he's in this world he doesn't recognize. He has these memories. He's being plagued by memories of things that either happened, never happened. No longer exist, whatever it may be. And now he's a man who remembers what he had, remembers his friends, remembers his lovers, and now he's all alone and he's going to have to rely 100% on himself and himself alone.
Yeah.
I think that's an amazing concept for a series. That's a pitch, Dave. What do we always talk about? Because usually we mostly cover on this network TV shows and movies. I mean, that's an elevator pitch.
It's an elevator pitch. And what makes it amazing, it's an elevator pitch for a comic.
Yeah.
Normally, you would get this for like
a TV show.
A TV show.
Or a movie. Yeah.
But to get this type of storytelling in a comic, it is something special. It elevates a comic from being just a simple comic book to being something that, like what we mentioned earlier, is considered a piece of literature.
Yeah.
You're talking about storytelling that will harken back to things like Watchmen, like V for Vendetta, of course, the Books of Magic, Neil Gaiman, all that stuff. Hardcore writing.
Yeah. You mean real writing?
Real writing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And these are the types of stories. I know there's people out there who like, probably not listening to this show, but people in general who don't understand why grown men read comic books. Well, this is why.
Because this is why.
These aren't your little, you know, naive. Oh, I don't want to bash Superman because I love Superman, but this isn't the 1980s. You know, this isn't the 70s where comic books were very naive and written for children. I mean, we're getting real stories here that people can connect with.
Yes.
And we've sorely missed a Hellblazer title, and I'm very happy with how they set this up. Now, bringing it back briefly, one more point on the connection to the DCU, the main DCU, post New 52. We may, Dave, for those people out there who are avid fans of that era, that's fine. I love John Constantine. And as I said at the top of the show, I felt like the characterization of John Constantine in those stories were fine. Some of the stories were kind of but they weren't. I don't think anybody fucked up John Constantine.
No.
So I think eventually, I don't think it needs to be handled right now, but just like we may tackle the other multi-universe realities, alternate timeline Constantines, I feel like there's room to also create a little bit of a connection to that. It won't be right away. I don't think it needs to be, but eventually we may get it.
I think we will, especially since just outside of Hellblazer, what the DC Universe, the overall narrative of DC Universe, all their stories are tackling right now. It's not just about 52 universes. They're tackling concepts now. If for those that are following all of the DC storylines of DC comic books, they're tackling stories that deal with what? Multiple dimensions, universes, multiple different.
Right.
Dark universe.
But that flashy stuff isn't Constantine's scene, though.
Yeah. But some of that flashy stuff, it might just be. Because take a look at the Dark Multiverse.
And look at the Books of Magic.
Books of Magic.
Yeah.
It's all tying together really nicely to really separate the DC universe as one cohesive place.
Yeah. And
sandbox.
And there might be, again, Dave, new listeners who are only, again, here for the New 52 or Rebirth. Superman does exist in this Constantine world.
Yes.
I mean, they mentioned it in the Books of Magic.
Uh-huh.
That what Mr. E actually admires Superman. So yes, these characters do exist. It's just different.
It's different.
They're separate worlds. You guys explained it the other day in the studio off air that it's a lot like Harry Potter.
Yes.
Where the people with magic see the world of magic and the people that don't. The people that don't have magic don't see it. So it's a world within a world.
Yeah. And that's actually understandable when you think about how the DC universe works.
Yeah.
No one sees the green completely like Swamp Thing, but it's there. No one sees the red.
No one sees Zatanna's titties.
Oh, I think Batman has.
Stupid fuck Batman.
And then, you know, like in regards to Superman, the thing I loved what Vertigo did in regards to Superman was establish the fact that that's one of his weaknesses, because why? Superman's not a magical being.
He's pretty magical to me, David.
Superman is totally science.
He's magical to me.
I believe in him, hence he's magical.
All right, let's go to a very quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to get into our final thoughts, as well as the art and some final thoughts on Simon Spurrier. We'll be right back.
That Irishman there is a leprechaun.
So sorry, are you being serious or racist?
Both, love.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Apparently,
whole fabric of society, so long as they and their weird way of doing sex is legitimized. That's what they want.
Their weird way of having sex or doing sex. I mean, gay folk, they're not aliens. They're not from Trisomian 21. They're human beings. They have sex the same way we do. They don't mind meld in order to fuck.
Now then,
they don't place their fingertips together and they're orgasming. The way these, I mean, Thomas.
Jesus, he's in the studio.
Thomas, I mean, the way the gays sign those leases for the latest Kia excursion. I mean, it's just, it's madness. The way they do those leases and buy those homes. And
you mean with the signature the same way everyone else does?
Their credit ratings are just exuberantly high for people.
From a lack of divorce.
It's true. I mean, they live a better life. They have more disposable income than the rest of us. But good golly, they're going to ruin society. If anything, we can learn a little bit about economics and the life savings from the gay community.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
Who the hell do you think I am? Benedict bloody Cumberbatch.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the House of Mystery, the John Constantine and Friends podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, as well as Spotify, and also anywhere else you may get your podcast. Chances are we will pop up as well. Just search House of Mystery. Leave us reviews. Give us thumbs up. Come talk to us on Twitter and Facebook. Facebook.com/House of Mystery 666 is our main Facebook page. Yeah. All right, Dave. So let's talk about the art of this issue. The artwork is utterly gorgeous, just completely gorgeous.
Yeah, Takara's art is perfect for Hellblazer.
Now, Takara is not covering the ongoing series, right? Isn't it Aaron Campbell? Does that name sound right?
I think you're right. I have to look that up, but I believe so, yes. Takara is not going to be the main writer.
You are artist. Familiar with Takara, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, what else has he done?
Takara, one sec. I had this written.
Yeah, I believe Aaron Campbell is covering the ongoing Hellblazer series. Because I follow him on Twitter, and he's been tweeting out things as he's working on. And he was also a part of the interview with the Hollywood Reporter, along with Simon Spurrier. So he will be handling the work moving into the regular ongoing Hellblazer title. I am desperately anxious to see what he does, because Aaron Campbell's work is amazing. I wonder why he didn't tackle the one shot, though. You would think if you're trying to establish a new storyline, you would also tackle the one shot that's essentially relaunching the ongoing series.
Yeah.
But that being said, Mauricio Takara is definitely a talent. I love the tonal shift in art.
Yeah, Marcio? I hope I said
Mauricio.
That. Mauricio? Mauricio has actually done Incorruptible from Boom Studios, which is a series that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on Captain Marvel and Marvel Comics, which was another one that he did very well. And he also did some Batman, I believe Detective Comics.
Well, he did a great job in this issue. As I was saying, I love the tonal shift in art style from the apocalyptic beginning to the more classic tone.
Yeah.
He did a good job bringing those styles together, because the style did change. Did you notice the style and artwork also shifted once Constantine was tossed into this new reality?
Yeah, because like it started going back. It started going back to like the old style art.
Yes,
it like
was what very I saw reminiscent.
In, yep. of Books of Magic, and I was like, okay. You started off with just like what you said, alluded to earlier, all the bright colors.
It looked more like a Justice League Dark title.
A Justice League Dark title, yeah. Right? And then all of a sudden, when you get to like the monotone panels, like the scenes where
desaturated.
He's desaturated and
the more film noir vibe.
Yeah, especially like the hospital scenes.
Yep.
In the very end. Suddenly that started giving me the vibes that, wait a minute, this is like the old Hellblazer art.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that Takara actually was willing to do something like that, where it's really tough getting a tone of a certain art in a comic, right? When you look at someone's art and they just do Batman, they do like just like the Batman character. Everyone does their own version of Batman. You have Jim Lee's version, you have Frank Miller's version, all those different versions of Batman's art, but there's still something that they capture with the tone of the art. And Takara for Hellblazer captured the tone of basically the classic 1990s. I think it's the 1991 series of Hellblazer, where you have desaturated tones, film noir look. You have a noir look and use of shadows. Some of the shadows, especially use of shadows when Constantine wakes up and he finds himself in this quote unquote reality that's in present day.
Yeah.
Suddenly it felt like the old Hellblazer.
And you got to, especially if you remember the old classic stories, they're very procedural. They have that down and out detective vibe. I mean, essentially that's what Constantine is.
Yeah, it's a noir story.
The down and out, self-hating, guilt-ridden detective. That's what he is. So the fact that the art matched that and went back to the basics, I absolutely love what they did with it. And Simon Spurrier is a god among men. I'm new to his work, I will admit. I started reading The Dreaming last year, which is a work of fucking art. Like, it's mesmerizing. The panels he writes and then his art team, just amazing work. and other works within the new Sandman universe, which is a thing, which I feel like if you're going to read this Hellblazer title, you should probably
read the Sandman universe.
You should definitely brush up on the Sandman universe, especially before it gets to be too heavy, before you have too much to read to catch up on. And we will throw those links within the podcast description of this episode, along with links to the Books of Magic storyline so that you can purchase those if you want to. And if you do, you should definitely go through our links because it does help our network as well. Dave, give me your final thoughts on this issue. We got to close it out today.
My final thoughts on this issue, you know, as I said, I was very conflicted going into this because I was worried that there's no way they can actually bring back all that decades of mythos with a one shot. But I found myself really engaged in this comic and was really happy with it. We didn't even cover it, the cover art. The cover art for this book just made me giggle. I mean, it is that vibe. They're trying to bring back that Vertigo universe,
yeah,
and show that that part of DC's history was very special. And grade-wise, okay.
Yeah, okay, okay. Do you want to remind people of our grading system? Do you know it by heart or no?
Okay, the grading system is basically 90 to 100 is a hell yeah, right?
I don't know. I'm looking it up. Hold on.
One sec. I had it right in front of me. There you go. Okay, so we have 91 to 100 is kick ass. Give them the horns.
Mm-hmm.
71.
That's the absolute best.
To 90 is hell yeah, thumbs up. 41 to 70, it's a movie, sideways, okay. And then 1 to 40 is get fisted, which is, it's terrible, don't even waste your time.
Yeah. This is totally a 30, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, the fan in me wants to give it 100.
Oh, David.
But I won't. I'll give it a 99.
All right.
Because honestly, it is that good to me. I've already told you that during the show that this is arguably one of the best comic books I've written
You wrote
best comic books I've read this year.
Are you Simon Spurrier?
No.
Did I not know this the whole time?
I wish.
You wash.
I wash.
What is? Are you getting flustered? Wrong? With it?
I think I'm having a stroke. But honestly, even thinking about like all of the other DC comics that me and you have covered this past year,
mm-hmm.
this is my number one.
Wow.
Honestly, because it hits all the notes that is necessary to reestablish Hellblazer.
All right, Dave. 99%. Now,
99%.
The fan in me also wants to give this 100% because I feel like this hit everything that Hellblazer should hit. And for this being a one shot, I don't have good luck with one shots. I find that one shots always leave me wanting. And in this case, this one shot did leave me wanting because that was the point. It was to launch a new series. But at the same time, it was an enclosed story that you can read and be very happy closing the book. I'm like, that's a full story right there. Critically, I also think it's 100%. There aren't any issues with this.
No,
there's none. There's no writing blunders. There's no confusion. And that's something I was looking for. I had a little checklist while I was reading this and I was checking the little boxes. I'm like, okay, is this going to be confusing? Cause that's the first thing I thought, like, okay, how are they going to do this? How are they going to bring everything together? How are they going to continue? Cause there's already rumors that they're going to be connecting the relaunch to the Books of Magic.
Yes.
I'm like, well, how are they going to do this? How are they going to explain the DCU? How are they going to explain all the other eras of Hellblazer pre New 52? And I feel like they took the easy route. And I think that's the only thing you can do. They took the easy route for now.
Mm-hmm.
They let us know that they're very aware that there's a lot of things that they have to eventually get to tackle. But they put a pin in it. They addressed it. They didn't ignore it. and they move forward with the immediate story that they needed to tell. So critically, I also feel like it's 100%, but because I may be biased and because it might be not 100% objective, I'm going to give this a 97.
Here's the thing.
I want to give it 100%, but just because I know I'm a huge Hellblazer fan, I have to deduct 3 points just for that.
Here's a question that just dawned on me, and I think this might explain why I give it a 99 instead of 100. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a valid reason. The story, the narrative, and everything is fantastic. Me and you both agree. We enjoy it. Simon Spurrier is really great. However, would this be the type of comic book that everybody can pick up? Because think about
that. That's a good question.
Like, if you were to hand this to your son,
mm-hmm. Well, come on.
Would you allow your son to read it?
No, he's too young to read this. But you mean pick someone else, Dave. My brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone in the studio here that works with us on Rain Man Digital, anyone that may not have read a Hellblazer title, I'd be like, hey, you want to read a really cool story? Yeah, and I think they would be able to get behind it and understand what's happening.
Thing. If someone can understand this.
Yes, I think.
Is there an age restriction to the understanding?
Age restriction or?
Say, for example, like, okay, a typical 16-year-old. Can a typical 16-year-old pick this up?
Someone just looking to get into comics and read? Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's another plus. That's what Simon Spurrier sought out to do. Like, if remember the interview we had gone into, he said that he wanted to make this where someone can come in from the ground.
From the ground.
And I think he did a good job. He did right by the Hellblazer fans. He did right. Mm-hmm. By the DCU fans, and he also did right by the people who were maybe looking to get in on something new.
On something new.
You can totally understand and grasp the story without having read anything else or really ever knowing who Constantine is.
That's my only concern is actually now that we've been talking about it is like I'm worried that basically say a person who has never read a comic book is wanting to get into comics.
No, they can read this.
And then all of a sudden, can they come in and say the concepts won't go over their head?
No, I think we're even thinking that because we know the history. Now, take out our knowledge of the books of mystery.
Okay.
Or the books of magic. Take out our knowledge of everything we know of Hellblazer. And look at it from that perspective, and it's still a complete story from beginning to end. You don't have to know everything about John Constantine.
That is true.
This is a beginning. That's why I called it a very well-crafted reboot. In many ways, it feels like how JJ rebooted Star Trek in 2009, the first movie.
Yes.
Where he didn't destroy everything before, but he created something different within the old, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. So. It does take away, I guess, my argument about why we would take away points on it. Because I'm trying
only
to
taking away points because I don't know if I'm 100%
behind it.
No, or objective. I might be biased. I might. But what I see both critically and from a fan standpoint is I see excellence.
Yeah,
I see 100%. But because I know how much of a hardcore fan I am, I'm going to take into account that I might be just biased. I might be seeing a big old pair of titties and I don't see nothing else.
That is true.
So, all right, Dave, this concludes our discussion on Sandman Universe Presents Hellblazer. We will be back every single week. That there's a new episode we will be continuing our coverage of every new issue of Hellblazer moving forward. It's going to be Absolutely. A part of the show now. It's a staple of this show. Every new issue, we will sit down and we will review and we will discuss and break down. So please find us Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, search House of Mystery. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
And good night.
My name is John Constantine. I'm the one who steps from the shadows, all trench coat and arrogance. I'll drive your demons away, kick them in the bollocks, and spit on them when they're down. leaving only a nod and a wink and a wisecrack. I walk my path alone, because let's be honest, who'd be crazy enough to walk it with me?